ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. So the Guru Purnima celebration concluded a few days ago. Of course, the Guru Purnima in 2020 was very different. We did not have the usual gathering in the Sai Kulwant Hall like we used to have every year during this festival. This festival, in a way, signifies the beginning of the academic calendar of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And in Prashantinilayam, all the festivals are so intertwined with the participation of students, and that way the celebration this time was in a sense very, very unusual, and this is something that everyone everywhere is feeling in every sphere of their lives. Since the COVID pandemic started, we are adjusting to changes in every sphere of our life. But one beautiful decision that was taken by the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust was to enable all the devotees to have darshan of Bhagwan Sannidhi, and that is how on the morning of Guru Purnima, devotees all over the world could watch the Sannidhi of Bhagwan beautifully decorated, and they could hear the songs that were offered to Bhagwan on the morning of Guru Purnima by the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. And to make the occasion special and to fill this vacuum, we in Radio Sai offered 1 hour program in the evening live from the studios of Sri Sathya Sai Media Center. And if you are someone who has watched that program, you would have enjoyed the beautiful songs and the insights that we offered during this program when we adored Bhagwan as the supreme preceptor, the Dakshinamurti, the one who conveyed profound lessons through silence. If you haven't watched, it's all there in our YouTube channel, Sri Sathya Sai Official. Yes, so our channels have gone transformation, undergone transformation in their names. All our services on the radio continue to be called Radio Sai, and that is how you're listening to Radio Sai live now, the Thursday live program. But it is coming to you from the studios of not Radio Sai, but the studios of Sri Sathya Sai Media Center. That is our new office, that's our new name. And in accordance with the directives of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, our YouTube channels also have been renamed. So it is no more Radio Sai channel, it is Sri Sathya Sai Official. That is the name of the YouTube channel. Our Hindi and Telugu YouTube channels also have been renamed. It is Sri Sathya Sai Premavani for Hindi, Sri Sathya Sai Sandesha Jhari for Telugu. We also launched on Guru Purnima a Tamil YouTube channel. It is called Sri Satya Sai Anandavani. So we are now having Sri Satya Sai in all our programs, in all our endeavors. That is the full name of Bhagwan, and that is how the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust would want us to have. In fact, all the institutions started by Bhagwan always have Sri Satya Sai. It is Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for the college, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences for the hospitals, Sri Satya Sai Center for Human Values, which was started few years ago in Prashantinilayam. So all the major initiatives of Bhagwan has always been with the word Sri Satya Sai. In fact, when Radio Sai started also, it was part of Sri Satya Sai Books and Publication Trust originally. And later on, it became Sri Satya Sai Media Foundation. That was the name which was there for many years until we merged with Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And so now we are part of Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, but the wing, the individual identity that we have as a wing of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust is Sri Satya Sai Media Center. And we are happy that we have Bhagwan's full name in our official address. And Radio Sai continues to be with us. Radio Sai is what Bhagwan started by pressing the button, and that's when our radio service has started, and that is how Radio Sai continues to be on air, and all the offerings on the radio will always be called Radio Sai, and our live programs on Thursday will definitely be known as the Thursday live programs. And coming to outside, inside, deep inside, this segment every morning on Thursday, when in the last few episodes I have been sharing with you the story of Bhagwan's life, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. When I started this series about 6 weeks ago, I shared with you that we are having this series to contemplate on the life of Bhagwan from 1950. In our segment Afternoon Satsang, my colleagues Prem and Arvind have dealt with Bhagwan's life in detail until 1950. And in this series now, we move from there and to set the background for the series. In the last few episodes, I went back to how Bhagwan named his biography as Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, how Swami had earmarked Professor Kasturi to be his biographer, and how Bhagwan prepared him for this role, how Bhagwan guided him as he fulfilled this role. And then we came to the lovely story of the construction of Prashantinilayam Mandir, the 10-day celebration during the inauguration of Prashantinilayam, November 23rd, 1950. And then we went to the chapter Prashantinilayam in Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, Volume 1, where Professor Kasturi describes for us the altar of Prashantinilayam back then in the 1950s and the schedule of Prashanti in those days. Your mind goes back to the beautiful bhajans of that era. When you talk about Prashantinilayam of the 1950s and 60s, the devotees who have had the opportunity to bask in the bhajan sessions, which used to go on for hours, cannot but recall those ecstatic melodies, those powerful vibrations, even though there were no mics, but the bhajans were so captivating. Let's begin with that and then we'll move on to the Prashanti of that period. What was unique about Prashanti in the 1950s?
Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, Parthi Narayan, 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 Parthi Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Lakshmi Narayan, 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 Lakshmi Narayan, 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 Lakshmi Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, 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 Parthi Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Bhajman Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, 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 Shirdi Narayan, Narayan, Narayan,
so that was a glimpse of the beautiful times of 50s, 60s of Prashant and Lim. Professor Kasturi describes how Bhagwan used to sit in the bhajan sessions for long hours in the morning and in the evening. In fact, in the beautiful book Bhaktodhara, Sri Satya Sai, you have Mrs. Lakshmi Devamma describe how in those days bhajans was for 1 hour from 11 to 12 noon and in the evening again from 6 to 7, and Bhagwan used to stand near the door on the men's side after the arati, and Swami used to offer padnamaskaram to all the devotees as they go out one by one. After the bhajan session is over, Swami would stand at the door and all the devotees can touch his feet and take his blessings as they step out of the mandir. Swami would do this first on the gent side, then he would come and stand at the door on the lady's side, and all the ladies would have the opportunity of soaking their body with the sacred touch of Bhagwan. Devotees in those days were in hundreds, and whoever was fortunate to be blessed to come to Prashantinilam in those days, they had this opportunity of getting the most of Bhagwan's physical time. Professor Kasturi narrates how Bhagwan gave all his time to the devotees. Bhagwan led a very simple life, used to eat the simple food of the poorest of the land, ragi millets. And he would eat whatever devotees would get. He would sleep on a bed spread on the floor. He would sit on a chair his room had nothing, just a chair and a table. And anyone who came to Prashantanalayam had the supreme blessing of earning an interview with Bhagwan before they left Prashantanalayam. If they came individually, Bhagwan would give them individual interviews, and if they came as a group, then Bhagwan would call all of them as a group constantly from dawn till dusk. He was engaged in the task of blessing devotees, giving them chances of seeing his grace, giving them opportunity of contacting him, giving them chance of conversing with him, of saluting him, of offering their salutations to him. And Swami, as the divine physician, he diagnosed the ills of the devotees. He laid bare the innermost blemishes of character or conduct, what was there in them, with utmost kindness. He did this, and he applied the balm of his grace so that they are cured. The most beautiful part of Prashantanalayam was what happened inside the interview room. The interview room at Puttaparthi, as Professor Kasturi beautifully describes, this interview room has been the scene of countless transformations of character, of any number of revolutions of belief, of any number of instances of confirmations of faith, of innumerable occasions when the curing of disease happened, of several instances of calming of one's temper, of any number of examples of how Bhagwan discarded the hatred which was there in individuals. It was the scene where union, reunion of hearts happened, where souls were salvaged. That is what happened in the interview room at Prashantanalayam. I want to go back to the book Bhaktodhara Sri Satya Sai by Mrs. Lakshmi Devamma. She talks about what happened with her in the interview room in those days. To give you a little background of Mrs. Lakshmi Devamma, she came from a very devout family. Sri Venkataramana was their family deity. Every Saturday, she used to go to the Venkataramana Swami temple. Her father used to read and narrate stories from Mahabharata, from Bhagavata, from Ramayana every evening. In her school, there were textbooks which had lessons on Lord Buddha, on the sacred lives of Dhruva, Prahlada. And when the teachers explained such stories, Mrs. Lakshmi Devamma, as a little girl, used to feel that I too must have this kind of devotion. I too must have a heart which is as compassionate as the heart of Buddha. Her brother used to read an English spiritual magazine published by Gorakhpur Press, by the Gita Press in Gorakhpur. And in that it was advised to recite the mantra, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It was mentioned that if anyone chants this mantra, Lord Krishna would reveal himself to them. And little girl Lakshmi took to this chanting with great passion and devotion. She was only 13 years old, studying in 8th grade. And she felt, let me chant this mantra. They say if you chant this, Lord Krishna will himself come And so she got into the habit of chanting this mantra at all times. Whether she was walking, whether she was working, whether she was going to school, continuously she would chant this mantra. And because of that, she developed such a beautiful connect with the Lord. One day, she got a very strange dream in the early hours of the morning. She dreamt that little Krishna, Bala Krishna, had come. And the little Krishna is holding her hand and taking her into the temple of Sri Venkatramana. And as they go into the temple, Lakshmi bows down at the feet of the Lord with a lot of respect and reverence. And when she lifts her head, Lord Venkatramana pours sacred teertham, consecrated water, from a jug into her mouth. And as she drinks that sacred prasadam, little Krishna disappears. And in a daze, Lakshmi Devamma wakes up from her dream. Even though it was a dream, for her it was very real. For her it was a confirmation of what her brother had told and what was published. That if you chant Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Krishna himself would reveal. And that is what had happened to her. Because of this, she always had great reverence for saints, for sages, for a life filled with love for God. It was during her childhood. There was Mr. Keshavaya, who used to work as sub-magistrate in Penukonda. And Sri Keshavaya used to worship Shirdi Sai Baba. He would always distribute Vibhuti Prasadam, the Vibhuti of Shirdi Sai Udi. And when Lakshmi Devamma went to Keshavaya's house to see this puja, that is when she heard about Shirdi Baba as a little girl. And something about Shirdi Baba captivated her and she started worshipping Baba. When Lakshmi Devamma's music teacher saw that Lakshmi is going to Keshavaya's house every Thursday for this puja, where Shirdi Baba is adored, the music teacher informed her that Shirdi Baba has now reincarnated as Bala Baba, as Bhagwan in those days used to be called as Bala Baba. And this music teacher said that she had actually seen Baba in the house of Mrs. Parvatamma, the headmistress in Penukonda. Baba used to stay in the house of the headmistress in Penukonda in those days. We are talking about 40s. And so Lakshmi Devamma, along with her sister Jayamma, once went to the house of Parvatamma to see who is this Baba. And when she went there for bhajan, she saw that in front of the photo of Shirdi Baba, which was placed there in the altar, Bala Baba was standing. And Bhagwan was distributing prasadam to all the devotees gathered there. Lakshmi Devamma was standing in a corner in the hall. Bhagwan came near her and gave her a banana as prasadam. Lakshmi Devamma was so happy for being recognized and being given that prasadam directly by Bhagwan, she just fell at Bhagwan's feet. That is how Bhagwan pulled Lakshmi Devamma to him. In those early years, this was Lakshmi Devamma's first darshan of Bhagwan. And she says, though I had not seen Shirdi Baba, but I was so immensely happy to have seen Satya Sai Baba. I was just very small. Bhagwan was then just 15 years old. Swami was wearing a white dhoti and a white shirt. He had thick, black, beautiful hair, golden complexion, luminous eyes. The eyes were radiating so much compassion. His lips were beautiful, red smiling lips. Lakshmi Devamma says, that darshan completely capsized her. And that is how her journey to Bhagwan began. Eventually, after a few years, Lakshmi Devamma had the opportunity to see Bhagwan in Prashanthi Nilayam. This was in 1952. So her father permitted her and her sister Jayamma to go to Puttaparthi with her friend Satyavatamma and her sisters. So when they landed in Puttaparthi, it was the festival of Shivaratri. She was having for the first time darshan of Bhagwan, and it was such a beautiful occasion because she was sitting in the front portion of the mandir. Bhagwan was wearing a red robe. She was gazing at the divine form of Bhagwan. As she says, it was a feast to the eyes. My whole being was erupting with overwhelming happiness. Bhajans were so melodious. As I watched Swami, my mind really virtually merged with Bhagwan. That Shivaratri day at 10 a.m. during the bhajan, Bhagwan created a beautiful lingam with a wave of his hand, and Swami put it on the head of Shirdi Sai. And then, from an inverted empty bowl, Bhagwan started showering unending flow of vibhuti onto the Shirdi Sai idol. As Bhagwan inserted his right hand and rotated it vigorously, the vibhuti continued to flow, and it was on and on for half an hour continuously from that little bowl, empty bowl. Professor Kasturi found it difficult to hold the vessel tightly. He had to ensure that the vessel does not fall down. But Bhagwan was so energetically filling the hall with that splendid miracle. From that small bowl, heaps and heaps and heaps of vibhuti poured continuously on the idol of Shirdi Sai. The whole mandir was filled with the fragrance of vibhuti. Bhagwan's robe was filled with vibhuti. In fact, after the vibhuti abhishekam ceremony, Bhagwan went inside, he changed his robe, and he came, and that is when aarti was offered. Lakshmi Devamma says, fortunate indeed were those who had witnessed this wonderful leela of the Lord on auspicious Mahashivaratri day. The great poet Potana in Telugu literature, in Telugu Bhagavatam, says, the sight of the divine is the real vision. And she says, that is what I experienced that day. That night during bhajan at 8 p.m., Bhagwan performed the miracle of Lingodbhavam. She says, I could not bear to see the delivery pains that Bhagwan was undergoing during the emergence of the lingam. Swami used to take tumblers and tumblers of water, and there used to be so much pain visible on his being as he was trying to bring the lingam from within out. Once the lingam emerged, everyone breathed a sigh of relief. After that, Bhagwan used to show that lingam to all the devotees, and Swami sang 2-3 songs on Shiva, and everyone joined in chorus. All the devotees were brimming with devotion as the bhajans continued throughout the night, the Shivaratri Akhanda Bhajan. The bhajan continued till the early hours of the morning. Bhagwan came at 6 a.m. and filled everyone with joy with his divine darshan. Then Bhagwan accepted arati and distributed prasadam. It was the day after that Lakshmi Devamma and her sister Jayamma had the opportunity of being granted an interview with Bhagwan. She calls the interview room of Bhagwan as the wish-granting room. In fact, when she was with Bhagwan in the interview room, she prayed to Swami, saying, Swami, we don't have any desire, Swami. Please permit us to take Padmanabhaskaram of your lotus feet. We don't need anything. We only want to touch your feet. And she says, Swami was so happy, and Swami gave her permission. Swami consented to her sacred desire with a lot of love and compassion. And she says, we completely submitted ourselves at his lotus feet with a sense of absolute fulfillment. And Bhagwan was so full of love, he started describing the conditions in our house. We didn't even ask about it. Swami himself started saying, I know your mother has asthma, your sister is suffering from stomach problems, your brother has gastric trouble. And Swami said, but don't worry, you be in peace, you be totally in peace, don't have any worry. So for Lakshmi Devamma, this was the first experience with Bhagwan in Bhagwan's interview room. As Professor Kasturi says, this is the interview room where transformations happen, where revolutions of belief happen, where salvaging of souls happen, where curing of disease happens. And Bhagwan, in that interview room, to make that session really memorable for her, Swami rotated his hand in a strange way and he created a silver locket and he gave it to Lakshmi Devamma. She received it with gratitude. And as she examined Bhagwan's creation, she saw that it had picture of Bhagwan as he was looking then, young Swami, seated on a tiger skin as if he's doing japam. And when she saw that picture, she was on cloud 9. Because that very morning, she had seen a photo of young Swami seated on a tiger skin as if he's engaged in japam in the house of Karnam Subbamma. And she had liked that picture so much. And that picture had stayed in her mind And she had thought how beautiful it would be to have a photo like this. And that morning, even before she asked Swami anything, the omniscient Lord rotated his hand and gave him the picture which she had already pictured in her mind. Lakshmi Devamma says she was thrilled with joy at Bhagwan's awareness of her mental desire and satisfying it in such a sweet way. Even till this day, she says, as long as she lived, she performed Abhishekam over that locket which she always kept in the puja room, and she used to take that sacred consecrated water from it every day. Swami's creative willpower is unprecedented, she says. So she returned home fully contented in the presence of Swami, the very incarnation of Shiva that he is. You can only be happy. Your hearts get absolutely purified. That interaction with Swami had confirmed to her about the divinity that is Sri Satya Sai. She had an urge to perform Pada Puja to Swami, to worship the feet of Bhagwan, and she asked Satyavatamma, what is the procedure to do Pada Puja? And her friend told her, first we have to wash Swami's feet with lukewarm water, collect it in a vessel, and then Swami's feet have to be washed with rose water, which can be stored in a bottle and taken later as Teertham. And then with a soft cloth, the wetness from Swami's feet has to be sponged up, and then Swami has to be garlanded. After that, the lotus feet of Swami has to be worshipped with saffron, with kumkum, with yellow colored rice, and with sandal paste. And then, if two coconuts are given to Swami, Bhagwan would break them, and Bhagwan would hold one in each hand, and he would crack them together in the most fascinating way. That is how Bhagwan used to break coconuts. And finally, aarti has to be offered to Swami. And if the devotee wanted footprints of Bhagwan to take away as her treasured gift, then a white cloth can be spread on the footrest of Bhagwan. Sandalwood paste can be applied on the soles of his feet, and Bhagwan can be prayed to stand on the cloth. And if Bhagwan obliged, then Bhagwan's footprints would be marked on the cloth, and that can be taken away as our blessing for worship in the puja room. Fruits and some sweets also can be taken to be distributed after the Pada Puja. Sometimes if Swami wills, maybe he will put a little in his mouth. The rest can be taken as prasadam, taken home to be distributed to family and friends. In those days, Swami used to eat betel nut leaves. So if tender betel leaves along with a little chinnam and betel nuts are given, probably Swami would accept them and put them in his mouth. So this is the procedure of Pada Puja that was explained to Lakshmi Devamma by her friend Satyavatamma. And she was so eager to do this Pada Puja to Swami after having recognized that he is indeed the ultimate principle. That's what she wanted to do. And she and her sisters, they went to Puttaparthi. In those days, there was a bus service from Anandpur to Bukkapatnam only. From Bukkapatnam, one had to come to Puttaparthi in bullock carts. And the room to the opposite of the interview room was the Pada Puja room. So the devotees would stop their bullock carts near the Pada Puja room and they would keep all the luggage near the wall outside. And they would take all these materials needed for worship. There was a staircase leading up to Swami's dining hall from the Pada Puja room. And as she entered the Pada Puja room, Bhagwan's physical body's cousin, Krishnappa, was climbing upstairs to meet Swami. So Lakshmi Devamma told him, "Sir, can you please ask Swami whether he would agree for the Pada Puja?" They had brought all the materials. And even before Krishnappa could go to Swami, Swami heard this prayer from upstairs itself, heard this conversation. And Swami said, "Yes, yes, yes, tell them that I would come for the Pada Puja." And Lakshmi Devamma says, "Words fail to express the joy I felt then. Before Pada Puja, we have to clean the room properly and decorate Swami's chair beautifully. But we did not have much time for that. Swami came immediately down for the Pada Puja. And Swami asked, where is the plate to wash the feet?" And unfortunately, Lakshmi Devamma had arranged everything for the Pada Puja except that plate. She had forgotten the plate. And Swami said, "Don't worry, don't worry." There was a small aluminium plate which was on the windowsill. And Lakshmi Devamma asked Swami, "Swami, can we wash your feet on this plate, Swami?" Swami was a little surprised at her boldness. But Swami said, "There is Pujari, Seshagiri Rao, in the Puja Mandir. Go and ask him for a steel plate and the Arati plate. He will give you. Bring that here." So she went to Seshagiri Rao immediately and got the two plates. And now Swami sat on the beautiful chair in the Pada Puja room. And she placed the steel plate under Swami's feet. And as suggested by Satyavatamma, she washed Swami's feet with lukewarm water. She sponged them with a towel. She collected that water in a bowl. She again washed Swami's feet with rose water, stored that water securely in another bottle. Again she sponged up the water, the wetness on Bhagwan's feet. And then with great love, she placed a big jasmine garland on Bhagwan's neck. In fact, Bhagwan was so happy, Swami sang a song in Telugu which meant, "O you devotees, secure lasting happiness by worshipping Sai Baba. He grants wisdom by dispelling the darkness of illusion. He reveals the truth to us. It is Saisha manifested as Satya Narayana. He has descended in this form for our sake." This is the song that Bhagwan himself sang. And Lakshmi Devamma says, "I am unable to describe the amount of happiness we had as we performed Pada Puja to the lotus feet of Bhagwan. Swami was melodiously singing and telling us how Pada Puja should be done." And in the end, she told Swami, if he would break the two coconuts. And Swami said, "Why? You want me to break the two coconuts for my own puja?" But the kind Lord nevertheless took the coconuts, one in each hand, and when he struck them together, they broke evenly and became four exact pieces. And finally, Lakshmi Devamma and her sisters, they waved camphor and prostrated contentedly at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. And then, when she requested Swami for his footprints, Bhagwan agreed with great kindness. She had taken a yard of thin white cloth for getting Bhagwan's footprints. So she cut it into four pieces and she spread one of them on the footrest. She applied sandalwood paste on the soles of Bhagwan's feet, and she prayed to Swami to stand on the footrest. And with great benevolence, Bhagwan put his holy lotus feet on that white cloth and then sat on the chair. Lakshmi Devamma let the muslin cloth with Swami's footprints dry for some time. After this, Lakshmi Devamma's sister also wanted footprint of Bhagwan. And Bhagwan obliged her too with that sacred gift of taking home his footprints to be worshipped at the altar of our homes. There was Saraswatamma, one teacher who had accompanied Lakshmi Devamma, and when she asked Swami for his footprints, Swami said no. Swami said, you never had that desire. You never had that desire to have the footprints in the first place, isn't it? She actually never had that desire. After she saw all this, she asked, and Swami said, don't I know? There is nothing that Sai does not know. Sai always looks at the intent in our heart, the content of our intent in our heart. As Bhagwan always used to say, he is Bhava Priya. He goes by what is there sincerely in our heart. You cannot secure the grace of the Lord through your superficial expressions of devotion. In fact, Bhagwan was so happy after the Pada Puja was done by Lakshmi Devamma and her sisters. For half an hour, Swami started talking to them about the pure devotion of the Gopikas, of Radha. And Bhagwan was singing to them those songs and telling them how one should love the Lord. And Lakshmi Devamma says, we were lost in ecstasy. The conversation ended only because bhajan started. It was time for bhajans, and Swami said, now you go and attend the bhajans. Swami gave them padnamaskaram and blessed. She says, is it possible to have such a divine opportunity once again in life? It was the blessing. Such an treasured moment which happened 1952. This is how Bhagwan filled devotees' hearts with sacredness in those days. Prashanti Nilayam was inaugurated in 1950. There was the interview room, there was the Pada Puja room, and this is how Bhagwan spent all his time. As Professor Kasturi says, seldom does a person leave the interview room with a dry eye. Bhagwan would fill everyone's heart with hope, with courage, with contentment, with faith, with assurance, with solace. Everyone will go with the message, why fear when I am here, O Bhagwan? Swami emphatically saying, put all your faith in me. I will guard you. I will guard you. I will guide you. I will guard you. And once you get these assurances from Bhagwan, and then you sit in the prayer hall and you listen to these beautiful melodies, that whole ambience completely recharges you. Bhagwan would himself sit in the hall for all these bhajan sessions. As Professor Kasturi says, a father might be a PhD, But when he puts his son through the alphabets, he has to take up the slate and write on it the letters A, B, C, D. Just because a PhD person is writing A, B, C, D, we cannot infer that the PhD person is learning the alphabet. He is only teaching. He has come down. That is how it is with Bhagwan. Swami comes down to our level so that we can be taught, we can be trained, and all the truths that Bhagwan used to instill in the hearts and minds of people, the emphasis was always on faith, on surrender. Bhagwan would exhort everyone to not miss the sadhana of doing bhajans. Swami used to compare the loud clapping of the hands during the singing to the clapping of hands under a crow-infested tree. If you clap under the tree, all the birds fly away. Swami would say the noisy crows of desire and hatred in your minds can be driven out by the loud clapping of hands as an accompaniment to the ecstatic repetition of the Lord's name. And Swami used to exhort everyone to engage in the repetition of the name of the Lord. Swami would say, repeat any name that appeals to you. All his names are beautiful. All his names are effective.
भज मन नारायण 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 शिरडी नारायण 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 भज मन नारायण 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 भज मन नारायण लक्ष्मी नारायण 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 लक्ष्मी नारायण नारायण भज मन नारायण 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 भज मन नारायण 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 शिरडी नारायण 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 शिरडी नारायण नारायण परती नारायण 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 परती नारायण भज मन नारायण 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 भज मन नारायण 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 शिरडी नारायण 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 शिरडी नारायण 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 परती नारायण 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 परती नारायण.
These melodies take you back to those beautiful days when you had devotees like Raja Reddy. Later on you had Mohan Rao, you had Mr. Iradi. We had so many very, very blessed, chosen instruments of Bhagwan who started the bhajan movement. In our YouTube channel, we have had conversations with Mrs. Joshna Reddy, the wife of Raja Reddy, and she has narrated how Bhagwan corrected, composed, inspired so many of these beautiful compositions. In fact, on our YouTube channel, Sri Sathya Sai Official, now we are uploading a series of conversations that we had with Mrs. Girija Bai. She also was from the early years, from the 60s, and she also shares about how Bhagwan was guiding in the composition of all these bhajans. In fact, she says how in the bhajan, Sai Sai Smarana Karo Guru Charana Kamala Dhyana Karo Keshava Madhava Bhajan Karo Sadguru Sai Smarana Karo is what she had originally composed, but Swami told her, no, no, change it to Sadguru Sai Seva Karo. So that is how Bhagwan was so deeply involved in the composition of all these bhajans, bhajans based on every deity, every god, every faith. And Swami used to spend hours and hours with these devotees, himself singing, correcting, encouraging, inspiring them to come up with new compositions. And that is how today we have thousands of Sai bhajans. Once Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir came into being, and the institution of bhajans became a mandatory routine in Prashanthi Nilayam morning and evening, and that set the Sai bhajan movement onto a beautiful dimension. And that is how we have so many beautiful compositions. Here is one more from those times. All of them are so beautiful. Prashanthi Nilayam was in those days, and we'll continue this in the coming episodes. So many beautiful happenings in the 1950s, 51, 52, 53. We'll go on to these beautiful stories of his glory in this series, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet and thanking you for your time. I take leave as we move on to the next program in our day-long Thursday life. Sairam.